Welcome in, and thank you so much for calling in. Some of you, I imagine, are calling from work, and some are calling from vacation. So thank you all for calling in, wherever you are. We are picking up with near the end of Chav's third parak.
The conference has been unmuted.
Already traversed the core topic of the third parak, and that is recognizing the value of thoughtful living, of thoughtful decision making built around ultimate goals of Ratzon Hashem, as well as retrospective Cheshbon Nefesh. And then we saw, after you sort of fleshed out, what sort of questions you ask yourself and when it happened, the context and the how extensive it should be, how ambitious it should be, and the question of how frequent it should be. He moved to sort of a general conversation, an important digression about, we saw last time, the question of darkness. When we talk about Olam Hazeh as being a dark place, we saw last time that's not a negative thing. It doesn't mean Olam Hazeh is not a pessimistic view in any way. It's a recognition, not that the Olam Hazeh is bad or evil, not that we're doomed. It's not fatalistic. It's a recognition of the fact that Olam Hazeh is confusing. Dark in the sense of, this, as we saw last time, destroying our vision. Either just being, sometimes Olam Hazeh is so distracting, people get so caught up in hedonism or in just the rush and the busyness, you could be totally unaware of the fact that there are larger spiritual values and larger, greater goals beyond the here and now. And sometimes, as he said, it's the other type of choshech, where there's a little bit of light, but not enough to see clearly. And a Jew might go through life with a sense of priorities and values, but they are distorted, much like the person hiking through the forest in the dark who sees things coming up, but if he's a person who thinks it's a pole, if he's a tree, he thinks it's a person. And that brings us to, if you're following in the Safari version, that brings us to letter Chaf Dalet. Now, Chaf is going to give us a final mashal for this parak, a mashal that's very rich, a mashal that's going to tie together from the earlier threads as well. So here we are, Olam Hazeh Doma. He says, you know what Olam Hazeh in many ways is like? Look, Olam Avucha, a garden maze, what we would call a corn maze. You ever been to a corn maze? You know what he's talking about? Yeah, there's a large cornfield. Some farmers, instead of just harvesting straight rows across until all the corn has been harvested in a linear fashion, some farmers will choose to first cut pathways in the corn so that what you end up having is sort of like, almost like a three-dimensional maze. And you can enter on one side, and there are walls. So around you are the walls of corn. And you're walking through a maze. And every once in a while you get a fork in the road. You're not sure if you should go right or left. If you go to corn mazes nowadays, typically if you would look from above, they look more or less like a paper maze. A rectangle, you enter on one side, one corner typically, or one side, and you know, the different paths are going back and forth and around, and the goal is to get to the other end. The way apparently they were common in Italy as well. Olam Hazeh Doma, Olam Hazeh Doma, you know, this is like Gan Mavucha. You have a garden maze, a Gan Natul Mitzchok, it's a recreational garden, Hayadua Eitzel Hasarim. Well known among the aristocracy. Apparently this was something that was popular in early 18th century, well-bred Italian circles. And the Tios Asius Song Song, the trees, he's talking not about a corn maze, but a tree maze, you have walls of trees that are made into real walls, bushes. They may have Shvilim Rabim, many different pathways. They're confusing. They're all intertwined. They're all the same, and you get to a fork walking the road, you're not sure which way to go, you can't tell, there's no directions. A paper maze, you can already see across, your eyes can scan across the entire maze at once. But if you're in the maze, you can't tell which is which. I mean, you may know you're trying to go that way, and one path points that way, another path points, you know, off to the side, but as you know from doing mazes, it's often the case that the what looks like the simplest path, it is not the right one. It's gonna, it looks like it's going that direction, but it's gonna veer off to the side, it'll end in a dead end, what have you. Now, Tachlis, Osakay, Tachlis Bum, Kikidei, Lagia, Lachadra, Hashad, and some. The goal is to get to the platform in the middle. And the goal to is that the Italian mazes were arranged not as get to the other side, but get to the center. And a raised platform in the center. Some of the paths, some of the paths will get you to the destination, to the platform in the center. Other paths will just lead you astray, further and further from where you're trying to go. If you're in the base, you can't tell us where you're going. The queen is shoving. Don't understand. Don't look at them. You have to say, hey, you know, well, some. You turn to the naked eye from your perspective. You can't tell what to which. Unless you read that, a dad is a serious, a serious eye. Unless I've already been here. Unless I already know this guy. I've been this way before. I've driven this way before. If I look at them, I've already been here, I've been here, I've talked to you, I've said, hey, not only done the maze, but succeeded in winning the maze, getting to the end goal, but then I may know the way. I may recognize the way. Particularly, if not only I've done this in the past, but if I just finished it, and so I'm actually standing on the platform, Os Chavzayim in Paragibim. And you know, the name Kar Chazah, and I'm standing on that platform, who will add Kar Drachim upon? A fellow who stayed on the platform will complete their name, and he's now therefore in an elevated position. He has a remarkable added degree of perspective. Roll call Jack McFarlane. This is all the different times. Mom says that I meet Tim McCullough. You can tell. And the other guy, if I'm doing a pay for him, if I'm doing a pay for me, he's looking down from the top. And he sees, this is the way to go. That way is not. This one is interesting language. Amitya and Kozum, a true path, or a false path. And you don't think of maze path as true or false. It's, you know, those that work and those that don't work. But it's false. False because it purports to represent itself in a way to the center, and it doesn't. It doesn't do what it appears to do. That's false. It's a lying path. If that's an internal language. So the line to write, the line, who you call the Hazirus Hassel Belt. Pharaoh, that Pharaoh who's up on top of the platform, he's in a position, literally, in a position, to carry people through the maze, yeah, go out of the way. Go this way, go there, make a left, make a right, go straight, turn around, go back, maybe way, and then now let's consider that. Let's
put our mind, use our imagination to get into this
situation. We'll imagine the world in the maze. Imagine the world in the maze. And you're standing, you're surrounded by standing corn, you're surrounded by walls of green bushes. You can't really figure out which way is which, and you come to fork in the road. So now what? So you think, you know, the clock says, okay, Captain is over there. Looks like it's around 10, 20 feet away. So I think that's like the path that, you know, seems to point in that direction, and that probably will get me there. That's what I say. I've been doing this maze for a while, and I've discovered that, you know, almost always turning to the right is the correct way to go. Almost always turning to the left is the correct way to go. It seems like, you know, there's something about the way they cut the bushes that makes it seem like, you know, I can tell typically that the side that has more of an indentation, that's the one that's the right way to go. But I may be, you know, going through the path, and I'm at a certain point, I'm at a crossroads, in this maze, and I think that I should go this way, I should go that way.
A or B, I think I should pick A. Reorders, but then I look up, and I see on top of the platform, there's a fellow standing there. A fellow's way of succeeding is his maze, and he tells me, no, don't take A, take B. Don't go to the right, go to the left. Don't go to the left, go to the right. How do I feel about that? What do I do? Someone listen, someone not. I told you, I'm going to try that best. I'm not backing in. I don't want to listen to other people's advice. I don't take directions from anyone. I'll do my own thing. It's a common human response, but as he points out, not a wise or effective human response. The Hiyei, if you're in the Safari edition, it's Os Chafes. You should use the Hamim Law if you want to believe the advice of God.
The conference has been muted.
If you want to believe advice from up top, then Yagir Makom Yuak. If you're willing to take direction, you'll get to where you're trying, to the destination that you desire. You'll make it to the platform. The fellow who, on the other hand, refuses to listen, I don't listen to directions, I don't ask for directions, I don't take directions, I'll figure it out on my own. And the fellow up top of the fellow will make a left, and you insist I have to make a right. If I just choose to follow my eyes, it looks to me like that's the way to go. Well, do you really think that the way it looks from within the maze is a better assessment than the perspective from on top? So, Vada, you should obey. Hello, Yagira. So, that's the way I'm going. I don't know. So, if you refuse to take advice, if I'm strongly refusing guidance from people who clearly have better perspective on the situation than I do, then just unboxing as I've been. Shooting myself in the foot. The Kinah Dabar Hazza, in Os Chafetz, section 29, Ramchal says, the same thing with the maze of life. Let's move from the metaphor to our real subject. Let's move from the mashal to the nimshal. Misha Adai Lev Mashal B'Yitzro. If I have yet to attain a certain degree of self-control, of mastery over my desire, I'm at a point in my life, I'm a point, more importantly, in my spiritual development, where I'm not yet Kodesh as history. I'm not yet that strong, powerful person described in the periodic, whether that is with self-control. I don't yet control my desires still control me. So we're at that to an extent, that in many ways, not a binary yes or no issue, black or white, but the question of degree, the how far along the spectrum. Where am I in terms of controlling my yitzharim, controlling my desire, whether my desires control me? You know, there's still too much of the desires controlling me. Who just have hashulim? That means that I'm still left in the way, still in the path. I don't yet have enough perspective to be able to notice guide, what's the better way to go? When you call out the perspective to differentiate, I know you think I do, but like honestly, maybe is confusing by design, and for good reason. How much of a yip job, but the people are really attained with greater degrees of self control. They, so to speak, have made it to the destination, they've made it to the platform. They've emerged from the confusing path. They're looking down from their heightened perspective. They have the perspective, they have the insight, the perspective to be able to see what's a good idea, what's not a good idea, what's an effective way to get out of the mood, and what's not an effective way to solve the mood. They're in a position to give valuable advice to he who wishes to listen. And then, we have to be paying attention to them. And just to add a little bit to the Ramchal's mashal, if I may, if you've ever been to a ropes course, whether at the Palisades Mall or some other location, but a ropes course that's multi-level. And you have these ropes courses, some which are somewhat maze-like, you're trying to get through different obstacles, and then if you have a multi-layer rope course, you have a rope course, and when you get to the end, you don't just leave, then you get to the end of that floor, you have the chance to go up a spiral staircase or climb a ladder, it takes you to the next level. Because sort of like the different stories in a building, you got multiple levels of rope courses, one on top of the other, a multi-level rope course. I think that might capture even more of this muscle, if you make it three-dimensional. Because the person who has attained self-control and gotten out of the maze, he has his own mazes also. Everyone who's alive in Amazeh has nisyonos, has yitzir hara, has struggles and moral challenges that's confusing and require clarity. But if I've attained a certain degree of self-mastery and self-control, so to speak, Reuven is still on...
If so to speak, Reuven is still on level, the first level of the maze, the first level of the ropes course. The Shimon has already completed the first level. He's on the second or third level, so he's in the midst of his own complexity, level three, but he is able to look down to level one with a greater perspective than Reuven has, because he's already completed level one. He's moved on to the next level of the Nishyonos, but he has greater clarity by the Nishyonos at which he has succeeded. And now the Ramchal wraps it all together. The Amna Mahi Ha'etz Hashem Nosim Lanu. What advice are they indeed giving us? The people are looking down from the Achsadra down the maze, or people are looking down from level two or three of the ropes course down towards level one. They see us in level one. So they give us advice, go right, go left. So what's the Nimshal? What advice are they giving us in the maze of life, in the ropes course of life? The advice is, Bo Cheshbon. Going back to that Gemara, which Ramchal introduced much earlier in the parak, Al-Kain, Yom Ramoshlam, he originally laid it out in paragraph Yud Dalet of this parak, Gemara Bava Basu Daf Ha'inches, the Moshlim say those are self-control, those who have, and therefore Ramchal explained, have attained greater perspective on what for us is still very confusing, to give us advice. We would do well to take that advice. And the advice is Bo Cheshbon, make the Cheshbon Sholom. Ki Kvar Heim Nisu V'Ra'o V'Yadu. They've tried, they've experimented, and they've come, they've seen, they know. Shezeh V'Adu Aderech Hamiti L'Gi Adam L'Hatova Asheru Rakesh below. This is a crucial, critical, non-negotiable part of real success in the maze of life. Real success is spiritual goals that are truly valuable. The recipe, the arsenal, the toolkit must include cheshbon shel olam, must include the ears, must include thoughtful self-reflection on the decisions and the goals and paths that I have in life. Let's just take a moment to consider what just happened in the last number of paragraphs before we close for today with the closing paragraph of Parak Gimel. That Braisa now, that Gemara above Basha and Ches, it absolutely sings that interpretation of the pasuk. Okay, Yom Ramoshim Bo Cheshbon. The Moshim Yitzchum are the ones who are telling us, Mei Cheshbon Sha'olam. We had been bothered a week or two or three ago. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us his own advice. Well, why do you have to tell us? Those who have been spiritually successful, they advise this. It's not an advertisement for Tylenol. The answer is it's not an advertisement for Tylenol. But it's a multi-layered, dense piece of advice for us. It's telling us two important tools. The second tool is the first tool that this Bryce has given us an example of, a taste of, is that unless we're a Navi, we cannot directly ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for advice and hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message of advice. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us is seek out the advice of human. We all need to seek out the advice of human beings who have already mastered what it is that we're struggling with. And those are both the importance of guidance and the importance of his bonus are the two messages, the two tools in our toolkit that Pasuk and Gemara are conveying. And with this we close, Kolo Shal Davar, paragraph 31, Lamed Aleph. Kolo Shal Davar, Tarach HaAdam Lios Misbonein B'Sichlo Tamid, B'Chazman, I have to, in an ongoing fashion, all the time, be actively thoughtful, reflective. Again, that's the Yiras B'Shas Maizu, the decisions that I'm making going forward, as well as Mankavulo B'Zbodido, to have time set aside, not all the time, but periodic, and B'Zbodis, and quiet, that'll be the Yiras Shalom B'Shas Maizu, Cheshvan Nefesh. Again, I'm asking, the first Hashkafa, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? The point is revealed Torah. The Torah which he reveals to us, his expectations of us. What is the right path in this situation? And then I will come to the second Hashkafa, the second question was Bodei HaMasa, to think about my actions. Either consider past actions or consider different possibilities for future course of action. In the Derech HaZeh Lo. Does it fit with Hashem or not? Ki al yidei zeh v'adai sheyeh nokeh lihitar b'chol nikol ra'al liyashe kol drach. That will make it far, far easier to grow, to cleanse myself of averus, to straighten my path, to be more spiritually effective. K'mo sha'kazim omer paleis magal raglecha b'chol drachach yikonu pasnek in Mishlei, that if you weigh your steps, then your paths will be sturdy and true. Make cheshbon nefesh, you'll get to the place you're trying to get to. They close the pasuk in Eicha, nach pasad yerachina v'nachkora v'yashuva Hashem. We need to begin with chipus drachim, with chakiras drachim. We need to begin with self-reflecting, investigating where we're headed. And then we can succeed v'yashuva ad Hashem. And this completes Perek Gimel. I'll be glad to take questions.
The conference has been muted.
I want to thank you all so much and look forward to seeing you over shop.